Matthew chapter 8. It's kind of interesting what Stephen had to share this morning because it ties right in with what I feel the Lord laid on my heart. Chapter 8 and verse number 1 of Matthew. Now when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. I get interested when Jesus says to someone who probably everybody knows had an issue or were even dead, he says, go tell nobody. And there was a reason for that. I'm sure it was the fact it's not that he didn't want people to know his power, it's just that he didn't want the Pharisees trying to stop him from doing what God, his Father, has ordained him to do. But I want to ask us a question this morning, and it ties in with Stephen reaching out to people that have been disconnected or left alone or outcasts or outsiders. How many lepers do you know? How many people do you know that seemingly are untouchable? And at times we've just thrown up our hands and say, what's the use? You know, I wonder as I read these stories about people coming to Jesus, how far off the leper stood and watched Jesus touch people's lives. Or who told him about Jesus? Or what compelled him to come to a man who had just left the multitudes? And the multitudes were still following him. I was thinking this morning that there are so many people who have a hopeless attitude on life that all they're doing is existing and not really living. They come to a place where I have to get up, I have to go to work, I have to do this, I have to do that. And yet there's no meaning. And it's not just people who are down and out. It's people who may have all kinds of wealth in the material realm, but emptiness in. Hopelessness within. An attitude that people just like me if I have money. They just like me for my money. They like me for what people I can do for them. Or is people feeling that I have no reason to live? And so the leper, seeing Jesus, decided he was going to take a risk. Say risk with me. Do you ever stop and think that faith could be spelled R-I-S-K? You see, all his life he was an outsider. I shouldn't say that. Ever since he got leprosy, he was an outsider. He couldn't go with the crowds. He could not touch people. He was not welcome. In fact, as the Bible said in the Old Testament, if they didn't follow this pattern, they could be stoned. Keep in mind, Matthew, even though in what we call the New Testament, was still most of it under the law. I believe Jesus walked in grace. But if you look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the people, they were still under the law. Mary had to bring a sacrifice. Anybody remember that? And so this man taking this risk at this time by reaching out and coming into public could have been stoned. But he knew someone that could bring him hope, that could meet his need. He must have seen Jesus heal the sick. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, if you are willing, you can make me, what? Whole. Have you ever stopped and thought? Sometimes that's dangerous. I understand that. Have you ever stopped and thought that within you is Jesus Christ, and you have within you the power to make people whole? I love the way you're shouting. This also answers a question for me that maybe you're not asking, but before I went on vacation, some people walked in here and said, Pastor, does God hear the prayer of sinners? All different kinds of answers, but there's only one. If he didn't hear the prayer of sinners, nobody would be saved. Right? Not only that, but years ago I had a man walk in and said, don't pray for the sick unless they're saved. And I said, what? He said, well, you know, Jesus just told him, go to the lost house of Israel and do this and that. But I said, do you ever read what Jesus told him in Luke 10? Heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom of God has come to you. So as the sick and the sinner and the outcast and the lonely and the broken and the hurting come to you, be like Jesus. You say, what do you mean? Jesus was a friend of the sinner, the hurting, the bereaved, the lonely, the empty, the ones left out, the ones not accepted. Where'd they go? They all went to Jesus. How deep are you in thought now? Are you saying, I'm ready for chicken? It really is a time where we start looking at things through God's eyes. Okay. Don't get so ready to go to heaven that you forget why you're here. I did some studying. Once in a while, I do that. And I found out that the 3.5 years that Jesus was going to the cross, he really didn't talk much about going back to be with the Father. Do you know why? He had a mission. Raise your right hand with me. Say, I have a mission. I have a mission. That's all you have to say. You're here for purpose. You're here for a reason. I believe all the end time stuff. And I believe we need to be watching for Jesus. But that's more with our lifestyle than with our eyes. But I also believe we can't ignore the people that God is sending to us because we're ready to leave. I love end time study. I love everything about the end times. It's not a time of depression. It's not a time of this. It's not a time of that. It's a time of amazing victory for Christ. Revelation is not about the devil. It's what God's doing to the devil. I guess if you want to read Revelation and say the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that, the seven devils doing... Who's pouring out the bowls? Who's pouring out the seals? Who's pouring out the vials? Who's pouring out it all? God is. But there are hurting, desperate, hopeless people crying out, saying, somebody's got to care. That's us. Acts chapter 8. Philip, one of the people that waited on tables. Okay? Hello? Did you know that's what he did? Acts chapter 6, he was selected to wait on tables, serve the Grecians, serve the widows. That's what he did. He goes down to Samaria, led by the Holy Spirit, preaches Christ, and a major revival breaks out. Demons come out. Cripples are walking. People are being healed. Things are going. Then something happens, and all of a sudden he's down there talking to the eunuch. Leads him to Christ. And then he has a beautiful transportation system. He ends up somewhere else. He left a revival to speak to one person, a eunuch from Ethiopia. Hello? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. How important is one person to us? Let's stop for a moment. Look at me. Somebody had to lead Billy Graham to Jesus Christ. Hello? Somebody. I didn't hear about Billy Graham having some supernatural encounter with God, falling on the ground, having Jesus speak to him, lifting him up, making him a preacher, taking him out to L.A. where he preached, where the director of the Los Angeles paper, the editor, told them, build up Billy Graham. Give him some publicity. They did, and you know the story? A couple people came to Christ during his ministry. Hello? What if the DNA is in you to reach someone who's going to reach the Native American population in South Dakota with the gospel of Jesus Christ? But the key is, I'm going to go talk to that person. Is that possible? And you know something? I believe God's going to take somebody off the streets, maybe bound by drugs and alcohol, understand the culture, anoint them, and send them all over this world to people because they understand what they're going through. You say, is that necessary? No, but it helps. Do you remember the maniac of Gadara? Do you ever hear them? What happened to him after all the demons were cast out? What did Jesus tell him to do? Go back to your city and tell people what happened to you. What happened to the city? They followed Jesus eventually. What about us? Are we chopped liver? You a liverwurst sandwich? I know I'm making you hungry. Not too much for liverwurst. Huh? Can't be any worse than that. I do like it. Yuck. With onions, tomatoes, mayo. Better than fish. No, I'm hungry. So something happened as a leper came to Jesus. Jesus responded to his question. And don't pray this. You know, unless you're just in a circumstance where you don't know what to do at all. But don't have somebody sick standing in front of you and saying, God, is it your will to heal them? Or God, is it your will to save them? We know his will, okay? In some things we know his will. We have it together. Just pray, let God do the rest. But Jesus responded to the leper saying, I am willing. And then he did something that is absolutely out of character for that leper. He reached out and touched him. No one did that but another leper. No one. There are people who need a heavenly touch. They need a heavenly touch. They need an encounter with a real person of God who has been touched by God so that they can touch them. They don't need a lot of words. They don't need condemnation or rebuke or whatever. The prodigal knows they're a prodigal. Hello? Come on. If you're down and out and on drugs and drunk or whatever it is, you know where you are. Yeah, you'll deny it at times, but you know where you are. And when the prodigal comes home, they don't need to hear, I told you so. Hello? They need arms wrapped around them. They need love. They need acceptance. They need to see the heart of Christ. They need hope. And I believe that the positioning that God is doing is positioning people who are full of the hope of Christ, full of the love of God, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and have nothing to lose and everything to gain by touching someone's life. I keep thinking of the song. I haven't heard it for ages now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for caring. Thank you for helping. I don't know what the end result of our Christmas giving and our Christmas sharing and the things that went on in here during Christmas time as we blessed people. But it has to glorify Jesus. No matter what happens. Your life touching one person glorifies Jesus. And think about it. If you touch that person and they're changed, And that person touches one person and they're changed. And that person touches one person and they're changed. How long you want to sit here? I can go. It's not long before our community's changed. I brought up at the last minister meeting, I'm praying that cancer is absolutely eradicated from our area. And not one preacher laughed at me. They may have thought, it must have been the pizza. But why not? Why not? Why not build spiritual walls around this city that Satan has no access in here? You say, well, that won't work. Why? Why not? It worked in Guatemala. Worked in Colombia. They closed the jail. They closed the liquor stores. They closed the whole thing. And God just began to provide more than one garden a year, more than one harvest a year, more than this. And they, by the truckload, the semi-truckload, they begin to ship vegetables around the world. Why not? Is it that God got smaller or we think a little small? Okay, let's put it to people. And I'm done. I remember in Virginia, Minnesota, where I pastored for 10 years, there were two women that they said could never be saved. They were incorrigible. They were wicked. They were this, they were that. And these two women, everyone had given up on, and I didn't even go visit them because I didn't know them. But one Sunday morning, they came to church. They were sisters. And both women, a few weeks later, walked the altar, accepted Jesus Christ, and got involved in the church. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the Holy Spirit, and nobody in the body of Christ rejected them. One of them passed away a while back. No doubt in my mind, they're with Jesus. Don't let your opinions influence what God can do in somebody's life. Don't be so set in our ways that we fail to see God's ways. Amen? Amen. I believe it. Something's building. Something's building in our community by God through believers that's going to change people's lives. Can we believe that? Yes. You don't know what leper you'll touch. You don't know who that person will be. But I want you to know something. God does. God does. And I've rediscovered again and again and again and again that God loves the outcast as much as he loves me.